then once like fake news, and there's so much fake news abroad, and you have to be very careful when reading the news as to what's genuine and as to what's fake. But you know, dear friend, I want to tell you tonight in this meeting, there's nothing fake about the gospel. You know, this is a message that you can absolutely depend upon. And this is what the Apostle Paul is saying here when he says this is a faithful saying. That simply means here is a word, a message that you can absolutely depend upon. It's dependable. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. Not only is it a saying, a word that you can absolutely depend upon, but it's worthy to be accepted, to act upon it, to come into the good of it. And what is this saying that Paul's referring to? Simply this: Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And he adds, of whom I am chief. He considered himself the chief of sinners, the premier of sinners. And we want us to think this evening for a few moments about this faithful saying, these wonderful words concerning the Lord Jesus. We want to break it down very simply and to look at it a little carefully, more carefully. And you know, the first thing we want to think about is Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus. What a person. Christ Jesus. He came. What a path. Into the world. What a place. To save sinners. What a purpose. Of whom I am chief. What a pattern. Just to think about this wonderful text. To think about this wonderful person. Christ Jesus. You know, the apostle didn't say Jesus Christ. He said Christ Jesus. And whenever you see that expression, what's been emphasized is that Jesus has been exalted. He's now the Christ, the chosen of God. And God has raised him from the dead and he's given him glory. So tonight we're presenting to you a living Savior, one who died and was buried and he rose again, and God has exalted him. Men cast him out as worthless, but he's chosen of God and precious, and God has honored his Son, and God has said, sit thou at my right hand till I make thine enemies the footstool of thy feet. The Christ, the exalted Christ, is the one that Paul's speaking about. Christ Jesus. But then, you know, he says he came. What a path. You know, you didn't choose to come into this world. And I didn't choose. You just arrived as a result of procreation. You had no choice in it. But here is a person who chose to come into the world. You see, he existed before he was born in Bethlehem. You see, we're speaking about a person who is divine. He is the Son of God. He is eternal. And he possesses all the attributes of God. So that's why we read in the Bible that in the beginning was the Word, that is the Lord Jesus, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the same was in the beginning with God. And there was not anything made that was made that was not made by him. And so I'm discovering the greatness of this person who came of his own volition. He chose to come into the world, sent by his Father, but yet he chose to come. And what a way he came. He was conceived in a way that no other has ever been conceived. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit of God in the womb of the Virgin. And 9 months later, Mary brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes or bands, and laid him in a cattle trough. Now, he wasn't born in a cattle trough. I don't know where he was, perhaps born in the, on the ground. There was no room for them in the inn. And we don't know exactly the circumstances, but possibly Mary brought forth her firstborn son, perhaps just on the ground. And then she picked him up and wrapped him in swaddling bands and laid him in a cattle trough. Who is this infant in the cattle trough? He's none other than the mighty God. He's the Father of eternity. What a great mystery. What a great truth is this, dear friend. What a wonderful fact that that blessed eternal one that shared the throne of God with his Father from all eternity, and yet he came into the world. The only sinless infant that ever came into the world. The only sinless infant that was ever born. For when you and I were born, why, the psalmist says concerning his conception, how that he was born in sin, and he was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. He's not suggesting that he was born out of wedlock. That's not what he's saying. But he's saying that, you know, his mother was a sinner, and his father was a sinner, and he was conceived in sin, and he was born in iniquity. And friend, that's how we all come into the world, in that same condition. You don't become a sinner, I said it the other night, and it's worth repeating, you don't become a sinner when you commit your first sin. You're born a sinner, every one of us. And that's why infants die. It's not because that infant has committed a sin, a little helpless infant. But the sad thing is this, that they have inherited from their forefather Adam a sinful nature. And that's why death has passed upon all men, in that all have sinned in Adam, every one of us. You see, when Adam sinned, I was there in Adam. I was in his groins, and you were there too. We can all trace our ancestry back to the one man and one woman. And you know, when Adam fell, he brought down the whole of the human race that was to come. And so, dear friend, we all got off to a bad start. But here's one who came into the world absolutely sinless, absolutely pure and perfect. And what a place he came to. Christ Jesus, what a person. He came, what a path, from the heights of glory. He came into this world, made in the likeness of man. Not only that, the world, what a place. What a place he came to. Why, he was hardly in the world when Herod the king was scheming his death. And Herod sought to destroy the child. You know what a world we live in. You know, this world is stained. The hands of this world is stained with the blood of God's Son. And you know, when Christ came into the world and was born in Bethlehem, you know, he came into a world that was lost, a world that was guilty. That's what Paul says, as establishing the fact that all men are sinners, whether Jew or Gentile. And he says in Romans chapter 3 that all the world may become guilty before God. You know, every mouth is stopped. There's no one can say to God, oh, but I'm different. Oh yes, everyone else is a sinner, but I'm different. My dear friend, there's nobody can raise their hand and say, but I'm different. The whole world is guilty. Guilty. That's why you need salvation. It's because we're guilty. Guilty sinners. And as far as the world's concerned, we quoted it the other night, and we'll quote it no doubt other nights. God says, there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Says Paul, there is none righteous, no, not one. Dear friend, you're living in a world, you're part of a humanity that sadly is destined for judgment. And this world in which you live is destined for judgment. You know, I marvel at the long suffering of God, and Paul refers to it, the long suffering of God. You know how that God's not willing that any should perish. God is withholding from this world what it justly deserves. Why is that? He's giving men time to repent. And so understand tonight that you're part of a world that is guilty and condemned. And that's why you need salvation. So Christ Jesus, what a person. He came, what a path. Into the world, what a place. And why did he come? Well, says the apostle, he came to save sinners. Isn't that wonderful? Why, the greatest rescue mission this world has ever seen or ever shall see is when Christ Jesus came into the world. He came to accomplish the mighty work of redemption. He came to save sinners. See, dear friend, we need to be saved. We need to be saved from our sins. We need to be saved from the consequence of our sins. We need to be saved from the judgment that our sins deserve. That's what we talk about being saved. Saved from your sins. And that's why Christ Jesus came into the world, to save sinners, to rescue fallen, guilty man, to make it possible for a righteous, holy God to deal in mercy with guilty sinners, that he might be just and a justifier of him that believeth on Jesus. And before one sinner could ever be saved, the Son of God had to go to the place called Calvary. And that's why we make much of the cross night by night, because it was there upon the cross that the sinless Son of God was made sin for us. That's what the apostle says. God made him to be sin for us. Him that knew no sin. What does this mean, that God made his Son to be sin? It simply means that Jesus Christ became the sin bearer, the sin offering. God made him to be sin. It's as though the whole guilty world, the sin of the whole world, was laid upon Christ. We were hearing about John the Baptist the other day from Tim in John's Gospel, chapter 1. The words of John the Baptist: "Behold the Lamb of God, the bearer away of the sin of the world." Dear friend. And the sin of the world was borne away at a place called Calvary. And it was there the sword of divine justice awoke, and it fell upon Christ. As the hymn writer says, "Jehovah beat his sword away. O Christ, it woke against thee. Thy blood the flaming blade must slay, thy heart and sheath must be. All for my sake, my peace to make, now rest that sword for me." Dear friend, the sword of divine justice, it awoke as Christ hung upon the cross. And you know, Christ suffered at the hands of men. We've been thinking about that in past nights, the physical sufferings of Christ and the mental anguish of Christ and the wounds that men inflicted upon his person until his visage was so marred, more than any man. And if Pilate hadn't put above his head, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews," those who had known him formerly would never have identified him. His face was so bruised and beaten, it was beyond recognition. Oh, the sufferings of Christ. And his back, like a ploughed field, where they scourged him. And his hands and feet impaled to a Roman gibbet. Body covered with bruises and wounds and the vile spittles of men. Ah, he suffered. He suffered at the hands of men. But my dear friend, the deepest, the greatest sufferings that Christ experienced wasn't at the hand of man. It was at the hand of a righteous, offended God, his own Father. And God, as it were, placed upon his Son the iniquity of us all your vile sins, all your filthy sins, all your evil thoughts and imaginations, and all your evil deeds, and all your evil words. They were all placed upon the head, the sinless head of Christ, and the sword of divine justice fell upon him. And it's what he suffered at the hands of divine justice, when all our sins were laid upon him, and Christ went down and down and down, he says, into the place of no standing. I sink into the deep mire. And down he went under the judgment of God. I tell you, what a baptism. Immersed, abandoned by earth and abandoned by heaven. A great darkness over all the earth. My Saviour hung there for 3 hours. 3 hours of supernatural darkness. And no eye could see him. And there he suffered, the just one, for we the unjust, that he might bring us unto God. Oh, the wonder of the love of Christ. Oh, the wonder of it. It was out of love for you, dear friend, and out of love for me, that my Saviour endured that cross, that he willingly went to the cross, and he bared his holy soul to receive that stroke of divine justice. And he remained in the cross until that work was finished, and he could say, "It is finished." Oh, what a wonderful moment when Christ realized and all the scriptures were fulfilled. When he said, "I thirst," and they gave him vinegar to drink in his thirst. Then he said, "It is finished." Dear friend, tonight, God is able to save you tonight, because of what his Son suffered and what he endured at the place called Calvary. Tell me, does that mean anything to you? Says the Spirit of Christ through Jeremiah and his lamentations, "Is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by? Behold and see if there be any sorrow like unto my sorrow, wherewith the Lord hath afflicted me in the day of his fierce anger." Tell me, friend, does the sufferings of Christ mean nothing to you? Is it just a story? Or does it mean everything to you? Dear friend, if you're ever going to know the blessing of salvation, if you're ever going to enjoy eternal glory, it's only going to be when you come to an end of yourself and you take your place, as I did, as a guilty, lost sinner for whom Christ died, and in repentance to put your trust in him. Dear friend, I want to tell you, that's how you get saved. And you say, "Well, now, Dan, that's good, but you don't know me." Oh, shit. If you knew the things that I've done in my life and the things that I've been guilty of, dear friend, I don't want to know. I don't want to know how deeply you've been into sin. But I tell you this, the man who said these words, "Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners," he was the chief of sinners. Paul considered himself the greatest of sinners. Why, he tells us the kind of man he was before he got saved. He said, "You know, I was a blasphemer. And I was a persecutor of Christians. And I was an insulter." You know, this man spent all his energy hounding Christians and hailing them to prison and torturing them, compelling them under torture to say things that they didn't want to say, to blaspheme. This was the kind of man he was before Christ saved him on the Damascus Road. I tell you, there's none need despair, because the chiefest of sinners has been saved, and he's in heaven and eternal glory. And his salvation is a pattern. And in saving Paul, Christ displayed the whole long suffering of God, so that none need despair, none need perish. You can be saved. If Saul of Tarsus could be saved, dear friend, you can be saved in the tent tonight. If you're but prepared to believe this message, to act upon it, to put your faith in Jesus Christ, to receive him as your Savior and Lord. Are you prepared to do that? That's how you get saved. Can I ask you tonight, are you saved? Are you saved? Right from the front here to the back, and the back here to the front, can I ask each one of you, are you saved? As you sit in this tent, are you depending on Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and his atoning sacrificial death there at the cross? Are you depending on the risen living Christ as you sit in this meeting? On what or whom are you believing? On what are you depending for time and eternity? You know, dear friend, you could begin at this moment for eternal glory if you're prepared to just simply roll yourself upon the Son of God. Put your trust in him, the one who loved you, the one who died for you, the one who's alive tonight, whose spirit's in the tent tonight. He's nearer to you than the person sitting next to you. It's only a step to Jesus. Then why not take it now? Dear friend, I'm appealing to you. If never before, will you receive this wonderful Savior tonight? Will you receive him? Will you believe this faithful word and act upon it, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners? May God bless his word.